coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Coffee break! It's the coffee break. Welcome to it with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. And we are so excited this evening to be with you on the coffee break. And we praise Yeshua as well that it is not so hot in this room today, Yusuf, and that we can actually sit here and that we can be fully present in this week's coffee break and we can be sharing with you and just clicking into whatever Father wants for us. I know this coffee break is going to be explosive, and I know that the Father has been laying things on our hearts for days and days and days. He's been saying to us, I want you to speak a really clear word to my people. I want you to speak it. I want them to hear it. And so this evening, I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about what the Father is saying, more importantly, Yusuf, what he is saying to us in this time. And now he is saying that we are alive for such a time as this. And I remember a few years ago, I was driving in my car, and it was many years ago, before you and I even met, in fact. So it must have been very long ago. And I was driving.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, we've been together ever. Well, I was driving in my car, and I was sort of like, oh yeah, wait, there's all this bad things happening in the world, and there's so much stuff, and why was I born now? You know, like, there's all this stuff that's going on, and we see the world is changing, and yeah, we're wah, and just sharing my heart with the Father. And I heard him so clearly say to me, he clearly said to me, my child, those who went before you long to see your day. And I had this full truth and revelation just wash over me in that time. And the Holy Spirit just burst so much stuff in my heart. And I went home and I was so excited because I knew that the Father was saying to me. And he even said to me that the disciples and apostles long to see the times that we are living in, because we're standing at the doorway to Messiah Yeshua's return. And that was what they were hoping for. That was what they were looking for. So Yusuf, welcome to you. Thank you for being alive for such a time as this, in this generation, for the messages that you have in your heart to share with the people now. And that's what we've got to realize, not so? We are alive for now. We have something to bring to the world that only we can bring, and we have to bring it in freedom and in peace and with the power of Messiah Yeshua. So Yusuf, welcome to you on this evening's coffee break.
Thank you, Aaliyah. And I'm sure that every single one of you can hear from Aaliyah's tone of voice this evening that she's really, really excited. And I'm excited too, because what she's saying, I believe, is absolutely the truth. We need to be in step with Yahweh. We need to be in step with Yeshua. We need to hear his voice, not the not the many voices that are going on around in the world at the moment. And believe me, brothers and sisters, there is so many voices at this present moment that we need to actually silence. We need to silence the voice of man. We need to silence the voice of falsehood and lies. And we need to allow Messiah Yeshua to speak to us and to really share his heart with us, so that we're not fearful people or people that are off the mark or walking in another direction because of our own fearful hearts or our own worries and concerns. And there are many. Believe me, there are many. You know, we as human beings, we can worry about everything, Aaliyah. We can stress about everything under the sun. And, you know, oftentimes because we are people, we listen to many different things sometimes. And that's just how our flesh works. We listen to this one talking and that one talking. We listen to our parents saying something. We listen to our wives saying something. And we have so many different voices of reason. But in the end, there's only one voice that matters, and it's the voice of Yeshua. He's the one who says in his word that he will tell us whether we need to step to the left or to the right or to stand still. As we listened last weekend, we spoke about the importance of being in step with Messiah Yeshua and knowing that sometimes there comes a time in life where we just need to pause, or other times there's a right turn or a left turn, and it's very important. So Aaliyah, I want you to share with us this evening. I want you to share with us what's on your heart. I know we're going to pray first, but I'm excited. I want you to share with us what's on your heart this evening.
We're gonna go back and forth this evening because Amen. I know that Abba Father has really birthed this passion in our hearts. And so before we pray, Yosef, you know, you were saying that all that matters is the voice of Yeshua and all that matters is the voice of Yahweh, and it's absolutely true. All that matters is the voice of Yahweh, and there's two ways to hear that voice. And one of the biggest ways to hear that voice that we must never ever take away from is the fact that if somebody's telling you stuff or if things are going down that's not in line with the holy word of Yahweh, this is not in line with the scriptures as it has been revealed and as we know it to be, that is this logos word, not so the written word of Yahweh, the word that was given to us and entrusted to us, for all scripture is there for instruction, direction, reproof, for every single thing, for discipline. If what you know or what you're hearing does not line up with the holy word of Yahweh, but it's someone's interpretation of the scriptures, that is not what we should be listening to. We need to take it back to the scriptures, and we need to take it back to that, and we need to be in line and step with Messiah Yeshua and be having that truth and that revelation revealed. Because Yosef, a lot of people will turn around and say, oh, you know, this is what God told me, or this is what this one told me, or this is what Yeshua told me, and yet it doesn't line up with the word of Yahweh, or it's so very different. You know, we have to be real and honest about that. There are a lot of people that say, oh, I heard from Yahweh and he told me this, and it's not true, and it's not the truth. So yeah, again, we are living in these days where a very close intimate relationship with Messiah Yeshua is required, and a knowledge, correct theological knowledge of the Bible, not the hoodoos and the voodoos and the kudos, spiritual stuff that's also spiritual out there, that when you read the Bible, you can't even understand it in its plain context. We need to know the scriptures. We need to know what doctrines we believe. We need to know what theology we follow. We need these things. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Do you believe in the infilling of the spirit? Well, that's a doctrine. Do you believe in the manifestation of the gifts in the body? That's a doctrine. And it needs to come from the scriptures. Man, this is a time unlike any other. We need to get real, and we need to get real with Yahweh's word and stop messing around with stuff and get real about what the word is saying, because there is so much confusion, and I'm calling it out tonight for what it is. We have to stand, we have to guard those gates, and we have to say to the body, just like the disciples did, and say, this is okay and this is not okay. And some people will hear and some people won't.
Amen. You know, Leah, you said something right at the end there that is very, very, very important. And I want to just touch on that. Some people will hear and some won't. You know, throughout the book of Revelation, we have spoken about this so many times on the coffee break, on all the teachings, on many of the things that we've been speaking about. But throughout the book of Revelation, it says continually to the seven congregations, blessed is he who has ears to hear and eyes to see. And brothers and sisters, I want to just touch on that like really briefly and say this. That there are so many people today that are walking around saying, I have eyes to see, I have ears to hear. And they are hearing things that are coming from so many different angles that is not found in the word of Yahweh, as Aaliyah said. And because of this, they are going around sowing this message. And they are sowing a message of discord and a half-truth message that isn't even really found, as Aaliyah said, from Yahweh. Or it cannot be backed up scripturally from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. That's how we need to back up a word that is given by a prophet or a person who poses as a prophet and say that, hey, you know what? The Bible says this, this person's saying this, so what is the real truth? And we need to also understand something, Aaliyah, that the Bible tells us very, very clearly that only a remnant of Yahweh, a true remnant of Yahweh, will be walking around in this final generation with a correct message. There will be so much delusion. And the Bible says that Yahweh himself will give people over to a delusion because they didn't love the truth. So we can say in our hearts and in our minds that we love Yeshua, but yet we are not doing or keeping what he has asked us to keep. And then we can be people that fall into a delusion. And a delusion is sent unto us by Yeshua, by Yahweh himself, because he wants us to get to the right place. So let us understand this. Many, many people are saying, yes, but I read the Bible, I interpret the scriptures, and the Bible tells me X, Y, and Z. But the reason why they're interpreting it X, Y, and Z is because they have a prejudice, or they have a theological viewpoint, or they have a political viewpoint, or they have a viewpoint that is based on past events or circumstances. So they view the Bible through that lens instead of viewing it through the lens that it was written for from the very beginning. We cannot go into the scriptures and say, hey, you know what? I'm coming into the scriptures with my own political agenda or my own viewpoint of things or my own theological framework. We have to address the scriptures in its theological and biblical and historical context of the day first and see what it meant then and take what it meant then and apply it to us today. Mm-hmm. Specifically when we come to the book of Revelation. The first part of that book, brothers and sisters, already happened to those seven congregations. There is future events. And I've said this, Aaliyah, often. We as the people of Messiah Yeshua are getting the message wrong. We are looking at the message and we're seeing the message as a message of destruction and doom and gloom. And the faithful or the ones that are fortunate enough are going to make it through. That's not the message of the scriptures. The message of the Bible says, he who walks in the ways of Yahweh and continues to walk in his righteousness and do the will of the Father, it is he or she that shall be protected in the hour of trial. There is a wedding coming. There is a great feast coming. There is a great jubilee coming. There is a great time, brothers and sisters, of revival coming in the body of Messiah Yeshua. Why? Because Yeshua is coming back for a bride. He's not coming back for a wasted people that have been sitting there doing nothing. And we need to understand that. We cannot look at the scriptures and see the book of Revelation and then turn it around because of our own prejudice and our own viewpoint. We have to look at it and say, Yahweh, what is this saying to me? How do I play my part in this? And yes, there's going to be bad times. Yes, there's going to be hard times, but Yahweh is saying to you and to I, Aaliyah, he's saying, hey, you know what, Aaliyah, are you going to be a man or woman that looks at all the worry, or are you going to be a man like Joseph that says, hey, you know what, or a man like Elijah, or a man like, or a woman like Deborah, someone that says, hey, you know what, I don't care about all this war, I don't care about all this stuff that's going on, I'm here because I want to do the will of Yahweh, I want to get people saved, I want to do the work that the disciples did in the last generation, in this generation, I want to be a disciple, I want to make a difference. I don't want to just disappear. I want to do what is right.
And you know, two things on what you said. One is, I watched that movie Suffragette quite a while ago, and we know from, if you've studied any sort of suffragette history, which is incredibly fascinating, and I really do appreciate a lot of what the suffragettes did in fighting for women. But one of the things that they did, and we find that in a lot of movements, like you said, religious movements, well, not religious movements, but political movements or movements that have a specific agendas, is that they will use scriptures. So even the suffragettes themselves used scriptures from the Bible that was found in the Bible to back up what they were doing. And it was completely out of context. So like you said, there are agendas and movements, real movements. There are political movements that are using scripture. We know the history of our country was built upon those kind of things, was that we take scriptures out and we go, oh, well, this means to this group, and so this group, and that group, and so still happens today in many different nations. And the Bible itself is used completely out of context to say, well, this and that and that, and then they add it to just adding to what their movement or belief system dictates or has within themselves. And so we know that that's exactly like you say, there is always going to be that. And the truth is that that's why we have to know the word in its context. There is a context that everything is written in. And that's very important that we know the context. And then once we know the context and what it actually meant, then we can say, Father, what are you saying that it means to me? We can't just go there and say, well, that guy took the colt from the thing, it means I'm getting a new car. I've heard people preach that sermon.
Amen.
You know, go loose your new car. Yeah. Because, you know, they loosed the colt there and brought it to Yeshua. You know, that doesn't mean that.
No joke, somebody preached this once. No jokes.
Yeah. And we can't, you know, this is the danger. This is the danger that we're going into. And we have to, as a body of Messiah, be careful. We have to be aware of what's going on. And I cannot tell you the burden or the, there's a word that I'm looking for that I can't find. The burden for this, Yosef, the burden that I feel with the body is that is just going astray because of all this stuff. You know, I've got WhatsApp, and so people send me messages continually. And the longer I beg, and I've said this, what is this, like the seventh time in the coffee break that I'm saying this, the more that I beg not to send me these messages, the more that I receive it. There are doom and gloom messages going around out there. I don't know what it's all about because I just delete it. And so it's always about the negative things. And you were talking the truth this evening when you say there is a feast coming. There is a jubilee coming. And I'm going to say it again, and I said it last week on the coffee break. 42% of the world has what? Yusuf, I said it on the coffee break last week. The world has not heard about Messiah Yeshua. The people of this world are dying for us to tell them the message of Messiah Yeshua. What are you going to do? You're going to pack up everything with doom and gloom? And then you're going to go and hide away in your house? Or you're going to stop working? I've met people like that that say, well, they've stopped their job. They've stopped their job. And their family is struggling. And they say, well, I don't want to be working when Yeshua comes back. I'm just going to be sitting in my house. Well, Paul speaks in Thessalonians about that very thing. And he says that those that cross their hands and do nothing, and this is not just work, do nothing for the kingdom. When Yeshua comes back, is he going to say, well done, you good and faithful servant? No ways. There is no ways you will get a nod because you packed up everything and you left the 50-odd percent of the world. You left the 42% that are dying without salvation today. And you went and you said, because it's getting too hard for me. Wake up, body of Messiah, today. Wake up and see what is really, really happening and see what Yahweh is calling us to do. He's not calling us to just divorce everything in our lives and just sit. He's calling us to what? Yeshua said one thing before he left besides go and wait for the Holy Spirit. He said, go to the nations.
That's right.
And that was not just a commission to the 12 or the 3,000 that joined them or the woman that followed Yeshua or the 5,000 that would believe later or the 72 that he sent out. It wasn't just for Philip who went and evangelized. It wasn't just for his daughters that prophesied. It wasn't just for Paul and for Timothy and Silas. It wasn't for just them. It was for us. It was for all of us. And Yeshua, when he prays in John chapter 17, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays a very deep prayer. He says that he's praying for protection. And he's praying for all of these things, not just for the disciples, but for those who would believe in him because of their word. So Yeshua is praying for those who will believe in him because of our word. We have a word. The Bible says that we are the fragrance of Messiah to a dying generation. We need to be a fragrance. To those who are dying, we are death. To those who are living, we smell like life. Let's bring life. You know, if that youth pastor decided that he wasn't going to visit my school on that Tuesday afternoon, I would never, ever have heard the message of Messiah Yeshua. I thank Yahweh for that man that doesn't even know today that he's preached a word that got me saved. If he decided that it would be like, well, you know what, the world is so bad, I'm going to not do anything about it. I would not have heard the truth that day. And yeah, Yahweh could have sent someone else across my path, but Yahweh wanted that man to tell me the truth. We need to be in step with the rhythms of time that Yahweh has said. And that's really what I want to talk about today.
Amen. The rhythm of times that we need to be in step with. You know, Leah, while you were talking, I was reminded of a passage of scripture that the Father laid on my heart a long time ago. And I've done a lot of teachings on this passage. And, you know, before we get into what we really want to speak this evening, I feel this passage of scripture helps us to just understand a little bit of what the Father actually wants. But the truth of the matter is, Leah, you know, the Bible tells us that the message of the gospel is the good news. We always speak about how the message of the gospel is the good news. And whenever you go to places and people will stand up and say, this is the good news of the kingdom. It is the good news that he is coming back for his bride. It's the good news that there is salvation. It is the good news that we can be a redeemed people and so forth and so on. But you know, this passage of scripture really speaks to me, and I want to touch on this because what Elias said now is very, very important, that we need to change our perspective and start to realize that, yes, so what? The world is busy. The world is busy with their own times, their own seasons, their own disastrous things. Yes, they are, and that's the honest truth. But Yahweh is saying that those who walk by my ways and in my covenant will be a different kind of people, a people through whom his glory can be revealed. And brothers and sisters, I want to say this. We've said this on this coffee break so many times, but yet there are still people that listen to the coffee break that are still spreading fear, and I don't understand it. There are still people who listen to our teachings, and they go, it's like the teachings go in the one side and out the other side, and then immediately when there's a message or there's a word that's going around, then they pick up on that, and instead of holding to the word of Yahweh, they're holding to the words of people that's just floating around, and they're forgetting that there is a true message that is being proclaimed and taking hold of another message that is not necessarily from the Father. So let me read this to you. It says, to the assembly, it's in Revelation chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 7. It says, to the angel of the assembly in Philadelphia write, He who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens, says these things. And I want to say this. It is Yahweh that opens and closes a door. It is Yahweh that came and sent angels to Lot while he was in Sodom and Gomorrah and got him out. He never packed his bag and was ready for the trip. Yahweh sent an angel. So I want to say this to you. It is Yahweh that opens a door, and it is Yahweh that closes a door. When he closes a door behind us, we need to move, and we need to stay moving. And it says, I know your works. The works that this congregation were doing was right. It says, behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one can shut, that you have a little power. These people were going through hard times. Times were tough, yes, and the world was probably being against them. But it says, you have a little power and kept my word, and you didn't deny my name. And you know what's interesting, Aaliyah, and I've spoken about this, I'm not going to get into it deep, is that Paul continually says to the congregation in Rome and in Corinth, he says, you know, Yahweh has given me an open door. And I always wondered, what does this open door mean? And he explains it as an open door to proclaim the gospel of Messiah Yeshua. Mm-hmm. When Yahweh gives us an open door, it's like an open window to go. It's a time. It's an open season. It's a place that we need to get going to do what he wants. And he says, I have set before you an open door which no one can shut. This congregation, because they are doing the works that we've been speaking about so many times, Aaliyah, like you said, they are doing the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. They have a heart for the 42%. They have a desire to do the works that Yeshua did while he was on the earth. He didn't hide away when the Pharisees were coming to kill him. He didn't hide away when people were persecuting him. He stood his ground and he stayed the course. And this is what this congregation is doing. And it says that because you kept my command to endure, I will keep you from the hour of testing. Another translation says, I will keep you from the hour of trial, or I will keep you from the time of the great tribulation. And this is not saying that it's rapturing them. No, it's saying this congregation that does the will of Yahweh and is not tied up in all these false prophecies and things that have been said, but instead they're saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to do the will of Yahweh. I'm going to do the works of Yahweh, and he's giving me now an open door. Even though there's rioting happening next door, even though there's bombs going off in the middle of wherever I live, I am going to stay the course, and I'm going to proclaim the gospel until such a time as Yahweh takes me out of the picture. And he says, these people, this congregation, and it's only one congregation in the entire book of Revelation that is kept from the hour of trial. Go and read it. All the other six congregations go through the tribulation, and they go through this time and the hour of testing. And you know, an hour, brothers and sisters, in the Bible, it says 1 hour is like 1,000 years. It's like a long time. So it depends. One day is like 1,000 years. 1 hour, I believe, is like a long time too in Yahweh's reckoning. So this time of testing is a long time. But those who hold firm to Yahweh's word are kept from the hour of trial. Why? Because they are not getting caught up, Aaliyah, in that stuff, that fear, that anxiety, that junk. This is important that we understand.
It's so important that we understand that he will keep us through absolutely everything, because time is in Abba Father's hands. Before we get into some more scripture this evening, I really want us to go to our first song this evening, because this song is called Build My Life by Pat Bennett and Corey Ashbury. And it's a song that I really think that we can proclaim. It's a song really that I think that we can speak out loud. It's a song that we can really say that Yeshua needs to be at the center of everything that we do. He needs to be at the center of our focus, and that he's the one that can build our lives, that needs to build our lives, every single part of our lives. Again, I'm going to say that in the time that we will face in our lives, we need to remember that very word. And that is that, you know, the scriptures say that there were many people that wanted to see our day. If we are living in the time where we believe Messiah Yeshua is fast approaching, then there were many faithful women and men of Yahweh who went before us who died not seeing that time. If we are privileged enough to see the return of Messiah Yeshua, and we will not taste death, so to speak, you know, we're not going to be dead and then come back. If that is our time, if we really believe it is, then we should be lifting up our heads and knowing our redemption draws near. But again, that needs to be issued with a warning from the scriptures, that what is not fulfilled in the scriptures, like we always say, has to be fulfilled. The word of Yahweh stands forever, and the things that are in his word need to be fulfilled before the end comes, and then the end will come. So there are many things that have not yet been fulfilled, and we need to be careful about just throwing it all away and saying that, you know, it's now and it's then. The Father's got every single time and season in our hands. And it must have looked very bad in World War I, World War II. And in all those times, it must have looked very, very bad. And at that time, it must have been like, when God surely must be coming back. Millions of people are dying. And yet it wasn't the time. So we know that the Father will fulfill his entire word. But right now we can proclaim, build my life, Father, you are worthy, you are awesome, and we want nothing else but what you want for us. Enjoy the song, and we'll see you when we get back.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Such an awesome song, and welcome back to the coffee break. And we're talking this evening about not fearing what is coming, but being in step with Messiah Yeshua and listening to his voice. How important it is that we listen to the voice of the one who created us. So Aaliyah, I know that you got some scriptures that you said that you'd like to share with us. And you know, before she does, this week's Torah portion is so important too. And as we enter, you know, we're busy doing the Exodus and all the things that have taken place from the very beginning, you know, with the plagues and the Passover and all the things that are going to be taking place. And you know, the Exodus is a wonderful, wonderful story, but it has so much value for us today in this generation. And you know, Rav Shul speaks about it. He says, don't forget what happened to Israel during the time of the Exodus, because it is for us a lesson today of Yahweh's faithfulness and his goodness. Even though they went through hectic times and trials, Yahweh was with them continually throughout the wilderness. So we must remember that, not to be a disobedient people as they were in the wilderness, but to take hold of what Yahweh did. Yahweh did signs and wonders and miracles. When Pharaoh was coming for them, Yahweh opened the ocean we went through. So let us not forget that and let us remember that. So Aaliyah, please share with us what's on your heart.
You know, the Exodus is such a beautiful story and there is just so much. And I think that the reason that just rings so true is because there's so many things that we can learn from it. But you know, this week in the Torah portion, we read about the final plagues.
That's right.
And we read about the final plagues. And there's something that I want to touch on before I share with you Genesis chapter 12, this amazing thing that the Father laid on my heart to share with you. But you know, I wanted to say this, just the ninth plague. What was the ninth plague, Yosef?
Oh my goodness, I knew she's going to do this to me.
Guess, take a guess. The last plague was the death of the firstborn. So what came before the death of the firstborn?
Darkness.
Yay! Darkness. You go, guy.
Darkness,
right? And what does it say in the scriptures? Because this is found in Exodus chapter 10. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and he said to him that he must stretch out his hands and then there would be this darkness. And you know, from verse 21, it actually says that there was a darkness that fell over the land of Israel, a darkness that could be felt. Now that's an insane kind of darkness. Because I know I'm not a fan of like really dark darkness. I like doing everything in the dark. Yosef is always complaining because I've got very good eyes. So I can do absolutely everything in the dark. Not a fan of like switching on a lot of lights. But I don't like to go sleep in pitch darkness. So if we go away somewhere and it's really, really dark, I will leave a bathroom light on because I don't like that darkness that can be felt. And this must have been a really, really intense darkness that they could feel it. And feel it, I believe it wasn't just like a physical feeling. It was very deeply a soul feeling. Like you could feel it in your emotions. Yeah, there was this darkness that could be felt. And it said that Moses did this and he stretched forth his hands and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. That was crazy. And it said that they did not see one another.
Sure.
They didn't even see one another. No one did rise from his place for 3 days. No one rose for 3 days. They were just sitting there. I mean, they probably didn't eat. They couldn't do anything. They didn't see one another. People that were in the same house together, they didn't see each other. This is a very, very thick darkness. And obviously, the context of this is darkness. That's what we need to realize. It's darkness. The absence of light. But obviously, on a deeper level, we can say this is because of what was happening in Egypt, and this was very spiritual. But you know what it says, Yosef, in verse 23? It says that the Egyptians did not see anyone, and they didn't rise for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light. Amen. In their dwellings.
Praise Yahweh.
Do we believe that that is true?
Yes, we do.
Do you believe that today?
Yes, I just
do.
Read
you
the
believe? Hold on. Yeah, it is. But do you believe it? Do you really believe? Do you believe that this happened?
I do.
Do you believe that there was darkness?
I do.
But do you believe, seriously, that the Israelites had light in their dwellings?
I think sometimes, Aaliyah, when we read the scriptures like this, it's like, oh, okay, I believe that. But like you're saying, do I believe that can happen for me? That's the question. Am I right that you're asking?
No, I'm actually, no, I'm physically asking because archaeologists still like to debate this. Do you believe that this is true?
I do believe it.
You, fully, 100%?
100%.
You believe that there was darkness and that the Israelites had light?
Yes, I do.
You do believe that?
I do believe that.
So do you then believe that this can happen to you?
I do.
Do you believe it can happen to me?
Amen.
Do you believe that if there was darkness in the world tomorrow for 3 days and three nights, that we would have light in our house.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
I do.
I believe it.
I believe it.
So why do we fail as people to believe that if supposedly there is evil coming or darkness coming upon this earth or whatever is coming, that there would not be light over us?
You know, Leah, I'm reminded of that scripture that's found in Isaiah that says, and there will be thick darkness over the earth and thick darkness over the people, but that Yahweh's glory, his presence will rise upon you. And that's the problem, you see, Leah. Yahweh's presence, his power, his manifest presence can only rise upon a person that has made a place for that presence.
Mm.
When we are living a double standard, or we're still living in fear, we're still living in the incorrect biblical understanding of his word, if we are still living with a incorrect political view, and we're basing everything that we read through that view, how then can we be the people that carry Yahweh's presence? And we might believe in him, but we are actually carrying a presence of something very different. We're actually then walking by a different spirit, and we're not walking necessarily by the spirit of Yahweh. And it's only, Eliyah, like you're saying, when we walk by the spirit of Yahweh in all of his fullness, that we become a people, like the book of Hebrews says, that live by our faith. Because that's the problem. If I do not believe what my father tells me when he says to me, hey, you know what, Yusuf, it's okay to step on this rock. It's okay. And he stepped on the rock in front of me and he says to me, now just put your foot there. It's okay. I've tested it already. Mm. If I don't believe what my father is telling me, I'm never going to step on that rock and I'm always going to be scared. And that's how it is with Yahweh. Yahweh's saying it's okay. I've been here before.
That's the essence of faith, is childlike faith.
Amen.
So it's the simple reality of saying, Yusuf, do you really believe that there was darkness in Egypt? That's a very simple, I've asked you already. That's the point of what I'm saying. We need to, when I approach the scripture, I need to be able to say, do I believe this? Don't get spiritual with me and be like, rah, 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 do whatever. Do you believe that this happened? Yes, I do. So if you say yes, do you believe that it can happen again? It's a really simple reality. Do you believe Yeshua is the Messiah? Don't like go into a theological or apologetic discourse with me. Do you believe Yeshua is the Messiah? Yes, I do. Well, then do you believe that he will do everything that he said he would do in the word for you today? That is childlike faith. You know what? My father, maybe I shouldn't say this, but my father used to drive the car really fast. And you know, my father had this like insane sports car when I was growing up, and he used to put us in that car, you know, when he came home from work on a weekend, on a whim, to drive us up to our holiday house that we had. And I would sit in the back of that car and I would fall asleep because I was so, so happy to be in the car with my family, and I had a childlike faith. Sure, the car was going ding, 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 ding in the front, and I didn't know why it was going like that. In fact, my mom told me last weekend that I used to say, hey, Dad, make the car go ping. But, you know, I didn't really realize the car was going ping because we were going 230 kilometers an hour. I'm sorry, I don't know how much miles that is. But that was very, very fast. All I would shout is, go, Dad, make the car go faster and make it go ping, ping. I used to love the ping. Now I don't like the ping because I have this understanding that it's fast. If we serve Yahweh with a childlike trust, we get into the back seat of that car and we allow Yeshua to drive the car. Not so. It's a simple reality. But you know, that is what it says. It says that they had light. You know, Yusuf, I believe that whatever is going to come upon this earth in these final days, be it good and be it bad. But let's just focus a little bit on the bad. If I believe that, you know, bad times are going to come, Yeshua says you will hear rumors of war, right? We'll see volcanoes. There will be earthquakes. Don't worry. He's like, hey, don't worry, guys. We're going to have a fish fry on the side of the road. No, he says, don't worry, because it's just the beginning of birth pains. Mm. Not so?
Mm.
He says, it's at the beginning of things. That is just the beginning. Do not worry, because there's going to be wars. There's going to be wars. And it's not only going to be physical, it's also going to be spiritual.
Amen. Spiritual wars. You know, Leah, I want to just touch quickly on something. I read this today in the Torah portion, you know, in the commentary. And what the lady said was very important, because you were speaking about wars. And, you know, she said this. She said, there will be a war and there will be a wedding. In which kingdom will we be found? Those who are taught to fear the return of Messiah, they are preparing for a wedding, and let me rephrase it. It says, those who are taught to fear the return of their Messiah, are they preparing for a wedding or a war? Are we preparing for a wedding or are we preparing for a war? You know, when we prepare for a war, it's always about our borders, looking after ourselves, looking after what we have, looking after how we can survive. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? There's a wedding coming and I know where I'm going to be, so let me go out there and make a difference.
So let's have the right garment on. If you're going to a wedding, you need to make sure you're dressed up.
Amen. If you're going to a wedding, you have to have the right garment. If you're going to war, you're always going to have that kind of garments on. And it's going to weigh you down. And you're always going to be looking through that kind of eyesight and that kind of mindset. And that's not what Yahweh is saying. And then she went on and said this: a true shepherd today will be found teaching Yeshua's flock about sanctification and holiness through his covenants and feast days to prepare the bride to meet her bridegroom. Only then is the flock a light in a dark world.
Amen.
And only then are we a true light in a dark world. When we are preparing for a war, we are just like everybody else that's living in fear. But when we are preparing to meet our bridegroom, then we will go out there and make more disciples, and we will teach the truth to people, not about how to prepare to survive this earth. This earth is temporary. We need to teach people how to survive this world so that they can live for eternity. That's what it's about. It's not about teaching them to survive on this earth. It's about teaching them what it means to be set apart, like it says, sanctified and holy through his covenants and feast days to prepare people to meet her bridegroom. Only then is the flock a light in the dark world.
And you know, those the duty that walked into the wedding feast with the wrong garment on, well, let's not even go to what happened to that guy, weeping and gnashing of teeth for the rest of his life just because he didn't spend enough money to buy a proper garment. You know, I know about that. I know about that because I am a woman that loves clothing. I like clothing, like, as in not like clothing. But I know all about that because when I'm going to go to a wedding, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm not going to pitch up at your wedding wearing a pair of jeans, all right? I will make sure that I have a proper garment on and it will be pretty. And I will honor you by coming dressed up to your wedding. So you can invite me next time. I won't not make a hash of this thing, all right? Those of you who are getting married, I'm inviting myself. So the truth of the matter is that we've got to have the right garment on, Yosef. You've got to have the right garment on. And that is about, and so leaders and shepherds and apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, whatever, need to be talking about holiness. The right instructor is the instructor that teaches you how to do it well. You know, it's not about just, hey, get out of jail free. It's about learning to live in the holiness and sanctity. Exodus 12 says something interesting that I want to touch on. Lastly, this evening. You know, Exodus 12 says, and from verse 1 itself in verse 2, it says, Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months to you. It shall be the first month of the year to you. You know, this week, I'm pointing at Yosef because it's the beginning of months for you.
Amen.
This week wasn't the beginning of months, but it was the beginning of Shavuot, the 11th month of the biblical calendar, all right? So we know that we are getting closer and closer to Passover. It's probably about 12 weeks away now, or less, actually probably about 11 weeks away. But how's this? And I want to just pull you into the story. We know that all of the plagues have happened. The darkness has happened, and the death of the firstborn has happened. And now, you know, the Israelites are leaving Egypt. And the first thing that the Father says to them, isn't this amazing? The first thing that Yahweh says to them when they are leaving Egypt and they are taking on a new identity as free people who are no longer slaves, who are no longer serving a pharaoh and taskmasters, the very first thing that Yahweh says to them is not, you know, do this or do that. He says, this month shall be the beginning of months to you. This is a new time and a new calendar that you'll follow. You know what? Time and the rhythm of time is a reminder that we are redeemed, and that he was trying to tell them that they are no longer slaves. Because you know, Pharaoh, when they were living in Egypt, he dictated what they ate. He dictated when they ate. He dictated when they worked. He even dictated at one stage, you know, how many children they would have and how many children they couldn't have. and what kind of children they could have. He was this slave master. He was just this really bad guy that just dictated everything. And that's the life of a slave. A slave is just totally bound to a master. And they were bound to Pharaoh because he just dictated every single thing. They weren't free to choose. They weren't free to choose anything. And you know what? He was a Pharaoh of fear. And when Yahweh took his people out of Egypt and he took them obviously into the wilderness, it was almost as though they were crossing the threshold. And now Yahweh was saying to them, you are no longer bound to the Pharaoh of fear, but you have a father of freedom. I'm going to give you a new time. You're going to live your life by my times and my seasons. No one else is going to dictate your life. No one else is going to have authority over your life. No one else is going to determine what you're going to do. That freedom meant that they had to have a shift in how they saw time and in how they used time. The Father gave them freedom. He said that this is going to be a new time. I am the Father of freedom. I'm giving you these things. Your life will no longer be bound by the world system of time and what the evil people of Egypt were doing. Because Egypt, we know, in a spiritual context, is a foreshadow and sorry, a type of world system.
That's right.
You know, it was a type of worldly world reality with a pharaoh, with the slave master just dictating absolutely everything. And that was not how Yahweh wanted his people to live. He took them out of Egypt so that they could be free people. And we need to realize that the rhythms of our life, Yosef, every single thing, just like Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to mourn, there's a time to be happy, there's a time to make love, there's a time to refrain from it, there's a time to love, there's a time to hate, there's a time for war, there's a time for peace. Absolutely everything. And that's what Yahweh has really been saying to me. Do you know that, like he says, that not one bird will fall to the ground without Yahweh knowing. Not one animal will pass away on this earth without Yahweh knowing. Not one person will die without Yahweh seeing it. Not one thing will happen in this earth that Yahweh does not see. And those who have committed their lives, just like you said earlier, Yosef, those who have really submitted themselves to the Father's leadership, they have come as Romans says, and I really want to read it to you because we often quote the scripture, but I want to read it to you this evening. And it's in Romans 8, and it actually says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, these are the children of Yahweh. That's how you've given your life over to him. You're led by his Spirit. It says, for you, those people who have the true Spirit of the living Elohim in them, you have not received the spirit of bondage, of slavery again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. You see, do you serve a father of freedom or a pharaoh of fear? Are you in bondage and slavery to fear, looking at the earthly worldly system and interpreting the signs of the times according to the markers and seasons of the world and of the world elite and of these evil people who are controlling the world, who are just being led astray by the devil? Or are we living as children that are fully adopted? And that's inheritance covenant, by the way. Talking about the keys of the kingdom and all of that.
Amen.
Exactly like we've been saying for I don't know how long. Are you going to be living that life? Are you going to be living knowing? You know what? The devil, if you are truly a child of the Most High God, if you are truly, and I want to say this loud and clear tonight, if you are truly a child of the Most High God, I want you to know this evening, if you are led by his Spirit and you are his child, I want you to know that the enemy has no authority over your life. The enemy has no authority over you besides what you give him to have. You know, the Bible says that for the joy set before him, Yeshua went to the stake, Amen. Enduring the shame, but knowing what was laying ahead. The devil at that stage thought that he had won. Yeshua was going to be crucified. He was only 30 odd years old. He was young still, probably considered young. Imagine what Yeshua would have accomplished if he had lived to 60 years old. The devil thought, oh my goodness, I'm getting rid of him. He's young. He's only had whatever you believe, if he had a 1-year ministry, a 3-year ministry. The devil recognized that was the Messiah. He knew who Yeshua was. He thought he had completely cut Yeshua out of the picture, but he was wrong. Because Yeshua didn't submit his life to the devil. He submitted his life to Yahweh. Amen. He had one father. And he knew that going to the stake was part of Yahweh's will for his life. That was why he laid down his life. The devil had no authority over him. Couldn't take his life. Couldn't put him on the stake. The devil didn't keep Yeshua on the stake. Yeshua's will and love for the world kept him on the stake. That's why he went to the cross. Because he loved us enough. Because he knew enough that that was Yahweh's will for his life. His times and his seasons were in Yahweh's hand. Nobody today will take my life unless that is proven to be Yahweh's explicit will for my life. And we even know, Yosef, just like you've taught many times, that the 144,000 who are the first fruits and that true, true remnant and what we should all be aspiring to be truly, they will lay down their lives willingly. Yes, they will die. And again, what does it say? It says that when they die, people will send each other gifts. They'll be so happy that these people are dead. And they will congratulate themselves because they think, just like the devil thought, that they got rid of these people. But guess what? They laid down their lives and it was Yahweh's will for them to die. They laid down their lives. Nobody took it from them. The devil does not. No person out there with a gun has authority over my life.
Amen.
No person out there has authority over my life. Yahweh has authority over my life. Therefore, Yahweh will determine when I live and when I die. And so what does Paul say? To live is Yeshua. To die is gain. Whether we live with him here, whether we live with him there. And you know what? To die for Yeshua is not a bad thing. What do people keep on thinking? The persecuted church is a reality. It's happening every single day. People are being martyred for their faith every single day. Well, again, we read the book of Revelations and we realize that there lies a crown that they receive in the afterlife for laying down their life for Messiah Yeshua. They receive the crown of martyrdom. I mean, wow. Sanctifying your life for Messiah Yeshua, there can be nothing better than just living and just dying. Who wants to, you know, that's a topic for another day. The truth is that we need to realize, Yosef, that our times and our seasons are in his hand. And sometimes, you know, we will go through hard times. Sometimes we will go through good times. Sometimes we'll be on top of the mountain. Other times we will feel like we've fallen off the cliff. Sometimes we'll be on the bottom of the valley floor. And other times, you know, we will be just sitting on the valley floor. But every single time, every single season is in his hand. Yosef, do you believe that?
I believe it.
Do you believe today that no matter what you've gone through in last year, because I know on the last coffee break we said that it was hard, but there was a time of wilderness last year that you and I were both in, and it was Yahweh's will, even though it was really heartbreaking and sometimes very hard. But even today, and even for the future, and for next year, and for whatever, do you believe that every rhythm of time, you have been redeemed from Egypt, you've been released out. He said, this is the new time for you, Yosef. I'm going to have every single day laid out for you. It's all according to my time and season. So nothing can happen to you that Yahweh doesn't want to happen. Yes, we all make mistakes in life. And sometimes we go back when we should go forward. And sometimes we do these things, yes. But it's about living in the spirit of Yahweh, being led by the spirit of Yahweh. Do you believe that if you're fully led by the spirit of Yahweh and you're walking in that perfect time, like Yeshua was walking, that every single moment of your life and your season of time is led by Messiah Yeshua?
Amen, I do. And I really believe that that's what the Father wants us to understand, that he works in his own time, Elia, and that so often we try to run ahead. Other times we try to save time as much as we can, instead of being in step with the Father. And there is times in our lives, Elia, where we cannot get back time at all, but where we have to stay in step with the Father. And I feel that if we are out of sync with him, if we are moving in our own time, or in our own fearful time too, we're going to be missing what Yahweh is actually saying and what he's actually doing. Because our perspective is no longer a godly perspective, it's a fleshly perspective. And when we unfortunately put on the eyes of flesh, all we're going to see is fleshly and fearful things. And we're never going to really see the truth. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's a fact. This is the truth. The world that we live in is a dark place. The world that we live in, as Aaliyah said, it's filled with many, many things that are going down. But you need to put your eyes and your perspective on the truth and not on the falsehood. You see, the problem that people have today is that they're always looking at what they see in front of them instead of realizing, just as the Bible says, it says, what does it say? It says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, Yahweh will raise a standard. So first it's got to get bad before the standard gets raised. And that's what we need to understand. So people look out and they look at the world, they look at their country, they look at the things that's going on and say, man, it's getting bad. But you got to understand, the only weapon and the only thing that the enemy's got is to keep on making it look bad, because he sows fear and discord. So what does he do? He knows that his time is short. He knows that time is ticking, like we just spoke about time now. Time is ticking away. So what does he do? He makes the illusion or the smoke screen look bigger than what it actually is. Because the more that he can get you depressed, the more that he can get you down, the more that he can get you confused, the more that he can get you focused on the problem instead of the solution, he's got you trapped. And when he gets you trapped, brothers and sisters, your focus goes off Yeshua and it goes on to the problem. And then we start to try and do and sort things out in our own flesh. We try to do things in our own flesh instead of trusting in Yahweh. And that's exactly what the enemy is trying to do. Throughout the entire world, he's increasing his smoke screen because he knows that his time's limited. And he knows that there is a time coming for the saints to do the work. And he is trying very desperately to get you in your seat and to strap you down and to cause you never to move. So stop. Take focus. Take stock of your life. Take a step back if you have to, and allow the Father to give you those spiritual glasses to be able to see the truth again. There is, brothers and sisters, mark my words, there is a time for the saints that is coming. If you're on the wrong side of the fence and you're going to be standing in the side of darkness and fear, you're going to miss what Yahweh is doing on this earth. And it's going to pass you by, and you're going to be regretful at the end of it too.
Amen. You know, Yosef, I was thinking that the bird didn't get the memo.
What bird?
The bird that always comes and listens to the coffee break. He obviously didn't realize that the coffee break has started up again. We need to send in the memo over tree number 3.
But you know, I also just wanted to say to all of you, we here in Cape Town, we have a lot of wildfires that happen here in Cape Town a lot. And over the last week, there's been a lot of fires happening around the area here by us. So we just want to ask that, you know, please pray for us. Please pray for the people here too. As many, many houses burnt down. A lot of people lost their homes and lost things here. And the problem that we have in Cape Town is that it's dry when it's dry, but it's also extremely windy. So what happened was somebody shot off a flare on New Year's Day against the laws of the country, and that flare landed up in a nature reserve, and the wind just picked up for the last 8 or 9 days. And it's been really, really hectic because the wind's been blowing at speeds of around about 70 kilometers an hour. I don't know what that is in miles, but it's really, really strong. So a lot of things have happened, and we just ask that you guys will please pray for those people that have lost their homes, because it's horrible. It's not nice at all.
The devastation. I mean, it's right here, very close to where we live. So we were watching the fires burning on the mountains, and sometimes it was just in the night you just could see it. And it's heartbreaking. There's something that happens inside of you when you're watching devastation like that, and you're looking at it, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I've been seeing the pictures that have been coming up of the devastation, and how, and the stories of people that went back to their homes and they have nothing. And I don't know. I just really think that we just continue to pray. And I just really felt the Father lay on my heart last night just to pray. And because of this, the fire got out and then another fire started. So I don't even know what's happened with that. And it's just devastating. So please pray for us. Please pray for us down here. And we need those prayers. But we're going to end off this evening with our final song. And then we're going to come back and we're going to pray together. We really are going to be moved by the Spirit to pray together this evening. Yes, and you know what? We're going to play this song. It's an upbeat song. It's called Get Your Hopes Up. And I want to say to you this evening, get your hopes up. Lift your head up. Because Abba Father is in control. Yeshua is, you know, he's got this. And he's saying to us, get your hopes up. Get your dreams out. Strap yourself in. Go to do what the Father is calling you to do. So this is Get Your Hopes Up by Josh Baldwin. When we come back, let us really, really wait on the Spirit and let us pray together. So enjoy the song.
I see the sun waking up the morning, reviving dreams. I feel the wind on my back with promise, reminding me there's a garment of praise for heaviness. There's a new song burning inside my chest. I'm living in the goodness that He brings. Get your hopes up, lift your head up, let your faith arise. Get your hopes up, our God is for us, He's brought us back to life.
Let's get our hopes up, Pierce. Let's get our hopes up completely to whatever Father can do in our lives. And so this evening, we are so grateful to each and every single one of you for joining us on the coffee break this evening. And so as we just come to the end of the coffee break, we come to the time in the coffee break that I often super enjoy and look forward to, I must admit. And that is the prayer time, the time where we can really, really pray together and to where we can really, really intercede for one another. And again, as we often encourage everybody in the coffee break to look above you, look at that name above you and say, I'm going to pray for that person, even now, even this moment, or even tomorrow. And remember those who are sometimes with us in the coffee break who can't be here with us this evening. Remember them in the things that they're going through. There are a lot of people in the body of Messiah going through incredibly hard times and hard things. And so let us continue to pray for each other. And so this evening, Yosef, let us just bow our heads. Let us just come together. Let us commit our hearts to Yeshua and let us just pray. Father, we are so grateful this evening that you are good and that your kindness lasts forever. Thank you that you have said that surely goodness, surely love, surely mercy will pursue me all the days of my life and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. I pray, Abba Father, that your goodness, that your mercy, that your love will pursue and overtake each and every single one of us as we sit here this evening, Father. I really want to lift Ziva up to you, Father, about her health. And Father, we know that when we go through health trials for a long time, Father. We know that it can be very, very difficult, Father, and we're waiting for that breakthrough, and we want it to come. And so, Father, I lift Ziva up to you. We as a community tonight, we want to lift her up to you. We want to pray, Father, that you will be with her, that you will bless her, that you will keep her, that you will make your face to shine upon her. Father, I pray that you would just declare, that you would just move your hand into her situation and just declare that now is the time for healing. Now is the time for it to manifest in the physical realm, Father. I pray that you will give her all strength and all wisdom as she goes through this time, Father, but that it will not be continuous, Father, that it will not be something that she has to just continue to go through, but Father, that you would come with your healing, with your power, with your miracles, Father. Thank you that your word says that you are the healer, that you are Yahweh Rapha, the healer. And I pray that and just declare that name tonight of who you are over Ziva's life. And we pray that, Father, you would bring healing to her life, that you would bring blessings to her life, her and her family, Father, her and her husband, Father, tonight. We say thank you for them, and we just pray your blessings upon them in the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach, Father. We also just pray for you, Anita, Father Yahweh. I pray that she will not allow fear in her life, Father, in the life of her and her family, but they would be strong in Messiah Yeshua, Father. For your word says in Psalm 27, it says that Yahweh is your light, Yahweh is my salvation, whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And I just declare that word over her life tonight, that she will not fear, because you are her light, you are her salvation, Father. She doesn't need to be afraid of anything, not the past, present, or the future, Father, because you are the God of tomorrow. And we thank you for that. I just pray that your glory and your mercy would rise upon her life, Father, and that she would just be strong in the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, we also just want to lift Anne up to you this evening, who is asking for prayer to decide what her final study or research topic should be. And we know, Father, that that is also a huge thing, Father, because we have to commit a lot of time into what our research is going to be when we study, Father. So I pray that you would give her such deep wisdom, Father, and such deep guidance, that, Father, that topic is just going to drop into her spirit, Father, that that topic is just going to drop into her thoughts, Father, and she's going to say yes. And it's going to be a topic that will make her filled with passion, Father, that will propel her in the direction that she wanted to go for her career and for her life, Father, and that you will, Abba Father, just take the situation into your hand. I pray for a great testimony from Anne in this, Father, that she will know that she will just wake up and it will be there, Father, and you will just have dropped it into her heart, and she will be so filled with joy, and that will be for the glory of your name. We pray for that testimony. We pray for your goodness, and we thank you, Father, for Anne and Dina, and for that family. And we pray your blessing over them tonight in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, I really want to pray this evening, Father, for something just laid on my heart this evening, and that is for every single person that is living in a foreign country tonight, Father, who is there to spread the word of Messiah Yeshua to the people, Father. We want to pray for every missionary, Father, every missionary family, every family with children, Father, every single person that has said yes and amen to go and do the Great Commission, Father, for you, and anybody, Father, that's living in a foreign land, Father, that is really, really there to sow the seed of truth, to sow the seed of your spirit, Father, to sow the seeds of Messiah Yeshua, your name, Father, your death, your resurrection, and your life. Father, we pray tonight as a community and as a body, Father, we want to stretch out our hands to those people. And Father, we just want to pray your protection over them, Father. We want to say thank you that, Father, even as it says in your word, that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are so few, Father. We want to pray to thank you for the workers who are out there in the harvest fields, busy doing the work of the kingdom. We want to pray, Father Yahweh, that you would protect each and every single person tonight, Father. And in this year, Father, that they would be protected, Father, as they share the message of the kingdom with people, Father. I also just want to pray, Father, for you to wake up in the body of Messiah, Father. As I just read today, Father Yahweh, how 51% of Christians sitting in the church in America have never heard of the Great Commission. How sad, Father. What time are we living in, Father? We need a burden for the nations, Father. We need a burden for your people. Burden our hearts, Father. Burden your people to go and take your message of truth to the world. Help us stop focusing on the end is now or the doom and gloom. But Father, help us know that we are here for such a time as this. And we can be and take the answer to the people who really need the answers. There are people that are hurting and broken. And we have, as your word says, the balm of Gilead that's in the hand of Messiah Yeshua. May we take it to them. Help us never grow weary in doing good, Father. Help us have a word in season, Father, for everybody who asks us about the hope that we have. And help us be lights in a really, really dark generation. I thank you for each and every single person in the coffee break this evening, Father. Bless them, keep them. Make your face, Father, by your grace to shine upon them and their families, Father. And for every word that you have given us to us this year, Father, even if it's be still and know that I am Yahweh, help us live that word, Father. Help us live it with such joy and with such goodness. We thank you, Father, and we pray this in the mighty name of our Savior, our King, the Almighty, the one who is in control of everything, our Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, I just want to say thank you from both of us for joining us again this evening. And as Aaliyah said, may you go out and may you go forth and do the things that the Father has called you to do. May you not be bound in fear, in doubt, or in anxiety. And may you remember the word of Yahweh, that unto those that are in his covenant, he is giving unto them an open door, an opportunity, a time period of being a witness for him. And that congregation that is protected, we need to remember, is in covenant with Yahweh. They haven't just stepped into one covenant, but they are walking in all the ways that Yahweh has set before them. And that's important that we understand that. Let us not stop at one point and forget about the rest, but may we continue to mature and become people that Yahweh wants us to be, the light in a dark world. And that's my hope, and that's my hope and prayer for every single one of you. So this evening we're going to play out Aaliyah with a song by a King and Country. It's called Shoulders, and I pray that the song will richly bless you.
Thank you to each of you for joining us. Have a Shavua, Shavua Tov. We pray that you will have such an awesome week, and we will see you next week on the coffee break or in the Bible reading group. Thank you for joining us. Be good, be safe, and may Yahweh continue to bless you.
Shalom.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.